Talk about a procurement gone wrong from the beginning. In contracting for training services for its flyers, the Navy made several mistakes, big ones. Not surprisingly, the Government Accountability Office sustained the protest brought by CoreTech. For some lessons in what not to do, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of the Washington firm Petrillo and Powell. And almost nothing was right about this one, was it, Joe?
Well, that's right, Tom. This is a procurement by the for services to be performed by the Navy's Air Logistics Training Center in Fort Worth, Texas. And they were going to train pilots, flight engineers, maintenance personnel, and air crews on transport aircraft. And the solicitation was fairly standard in that they provided for an evaluation of both price and non-price factors. And like many solicitations, but certainly not all, non-price factors were more important than price. Here they conducted the evaluation. One offeror, the incumbent, got higher grades across the board but had a higher price. Another offeror got marginal or acceptable grades across the board but had a lower price. They decided to go with the lower price, and a protest ensued.
Yes, because the company that protested, the higher price company, was not that much higher, about $1.5 million over an $11 million versus a $10 million deal. But they got good, outstanding, and good, and the winning company got acceptable, acceptable, acceptable.
Yeah, it certainly would have been reasonable and rational for the Navy to have decided, given its evaluation criteria, to go with the higher price, but they didn't. Unfortunately, as we found out in the protest, there were several serious mistakes made in terms of the acceptability of the proposal that was accepted, and there were three big mistakes that were made, not just one or two, but three.
What were they? Let's start with the first mistake.
All right, the first mistake regards the staffing plan, and their solicitation required that the instructors have a minimum of 8 years' experience in teaching aircraft maintenance and in aircraft maintenance activities. And the winning proposal said, well, our folks are going to have at least 3 years' experience. Well, that ain't neat. So GAO had no problem saying that the proposal on its face appeared unacceptable.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine how you could have someone with 3 years' experience teaching Navy personnel to maintain transport planes.
Well, there's lots of strange things about this solicitation and the protest decision. I mean, for the lower-priced offeror was supposedly going to hire the personnel of the higher-priced offeror, but somehow that didn't come through in the decision or really in the evaluation process. So you know why it was offering people who didn't meet qualifications when it was presumably going to hire people who were. Even that's confusing.
All right, so that was the first mistake. What was the second one?
Well, the second mistake, once again, looks like a fairly simple one, and that is that the solicitation had a firm limit of 25 pages. You know, these solicitations frequently have very strict page limits and very short page limits, and here the winning proposal was 26 pages long, and the Navy evaluated every single one of those pages. So the protester came in and said, wait a minute, you know, we submitted a 25-page proposal, which was the limit, and they got away with an extra page. And then there was a discussion about whether or not the extra page counted or not, because presumably it was a one-page executive summary at the beginning. And there were two problems with that argument that the Navy made. First, the one page did have information on it that was relevant and was probably evaluated about employee benefits. And second, GAO seems to be saying that you can't evaluate the page that goes over, and the way you determine which page goes over is you start counting at the front and you get to the end. And the last page apparently was extremely important because it had information on one of the past performance examples given, and that was an example that was given at the time their rating went from unknown confidence to acceptable confidence.
I guess if you have a rule, it should be a hard and fast rule. 25 pages, pretty clear.
Right, and they went over, and And the Navy should have stopped reading at the 25th page.
We're speaking with Washington procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell, and that's two mistakes down. What was the third big one the Navy made?
The third one was, in terms of evaluating past performance and corporate experience, this proposal, like many, had a time limit for relevance, and they were not going to evaluate performance that took place more than 5 years before proposal submission. But, in fact, they did evaluate one of the winning offerors' references that went outside the five-year limit. It was a six-year contract, and only 29 days took place within the five-year time limit. So, the Navy said, well, we only looked at those 25 days, and GAO wasn't buying that. I mean, for one thing, it isn't clear the 29 days of performance really counts for very much. And for another, and this was a problem the Navy had throughout, the evaluation record really didn't indicate that they only evaluated just those 29 days.
I mean, Joe, in a case like this, you can't even say that the Navy was trying to wire the contract because they threw out all of their own requirements in awarding this one. So it wasn't even as if they had tilted the requirements in favor of the company they eventually chose.
Well, that's true. And this example, this protest, it teaches a couple of things. First of all, you wonder how things got to this pass. And it may be that the agency, when it came right down to it, was looking at requirements that they decided really weren't that important. Well, if you change your requirements in the middle of the solicitation, you've got to change, in the middle of the procurement, rather, you've got to change the solicitation. You've got to give everyone a chance to bid against the changed requirements. You can't just waive them for one offeror. The second thing that may have happened is when it came right down to it, maybe the agency decided that they didn't really care about technical excellence that much and weren't willing to pay more money. And in that case, they should have gone with lowest price technically acceptable.
Because they had said at the outset this was going to be a best value procurement and not a lowest price technically acceptable.
Absolutely. And they were going to weight the non-price factors higher than the price factors. And so, you know, they set up a situation where, if they decided to go with low price bare bones, it wasn't really what they'd said they were going to do. And the final thing the agency can do better in the future is that they apparently submitted an extremely heavily redacted administrative record with very few redacted documents to GAO. And GAO apparently kept asking them to supply more documents, and then they would begrudgingly provide them, but in each case with heavy redactions. And at the end of the day, for instance, GAO couldn't even be sure of what they had done in terms of evaluating that one past performance contract. So they held that the record did not support the procurement. If you get into one of these situations, you do not provide a full record at your own peril. And if you're going to start keeping GAO from getting information that it needs to evaluate the protest, then you run the risk of losing it.
You can never make this stuff up. And so looking at the recommendations from GAO, they say start over again, basically. And they also recommend that the Navy pay the Cortec company's legal fees. Is that common in these things? And when it says this is a recommendation, does that mean the Navy has to do it?
Well, two things. First of all, in terms of the legal fees, the winning protester is entitled to those on the issues that in fact wins. And secondly, although this is a recommendation, if the Navy does not decide to follow it, it's got to report that to Congress. And that happens maybe once or twice a year, but it's not very frequent.
So we don't know yet what the Navy will do. This decision just came out in December.
Right. We don't have that information, and we'll have to see whether they decide to go back and reevaluate proposals in a way that's consistent with the solicitation, or if the solicitation doesn't reflect their needs, whether they'll revise the solicitation and reissue it.
Procurement attorney Joe Petrillo, thank you for those lessons learned. That was one of the most clear-cut cases I've heard in a long time.
Well, good talking to you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.